And I think that's going to be hard on our young people. As a lot of the older people here said, well, I'm getting old too, so a lot of our young people is going to have a hard time getting a job, and unless they're changed and they just get this education that they that a lot of them talk about today, and to be on their own and do away with a lot of things that they are not doing. So I think that's one of the things that had to happen before anything could change again, because this pipeline came through here, and there's just a very few natives working on it, and there was 1,000 others from South 48 worked on this pipeline, and I don't see any sense in it. I can go out here and run a truck or run a cat or something like that, and I don't have to have a skill work for that, because I learned that, and I think a lot of our younger people can learn if they just go out and hire these people to, you know, on-job training or something, but they won't do it. And that's what we have to do. If we can get some kind of a money to train our young people here, I think we can get back on our feet. And as much as we know the non-native ways now that we're not, you know, standing back for anybody, we're going to get right in there and do our things. As far as the native land claim for 91, I think that's what was said here. Some of the things that was said here is fit in with my what I was going to say. I think of the young people, the newborn, and what they're going to do. I know that we have a stock that and lands that we could turn over to them, but they're not ready for it. Like we were when the land claim started. You heard some of the people says we wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready for the land claim because I didn't know what was going on until now. Now I begin to realize what happened here, what I do, what we did here. And I look back on it sometimes as we're done wrong. But then it's done, it's already done and said. So what can we do about it now? Is just to go along with what we have now and just get in there and do what we can do for ourselves, our native people. Non-native not going to do anything for us. I don't think they will. There's people that will help us. Someone like you sitting here and listening to us and you know, but we have to try to get along and get in there and do what we can do with our native land claim. And if we're going to sell it, we're going to sell it. If not, we're not going to sell it. Because I think to myself that we should start, begin to think about something else right now. Begin to think about 1991, what we're going to do with our lands and what how we're going to take care of it. And I think one of the things that I think we should look into is that let's get together and see what we can do in 1991 after the land claim. I wouldn't give up my land. If I still live in 1991, I'll keep hold of my lands. And if my children gets it, then I don't know what they're going to do with it. So I'm not talking for them, because I'll be long gone probably. So I think that we should right now. It's one of us natives here should try to help our young people to organize better or than what we have now. Thank you for listening today.
Thank you, Mr. Johns. Thank you very much.
My name is Gloria Stickwan. I'm from Taslina. When they wrote up this answer, I think it was unfair. They should have gone to the old people and talked to them. The way it was written up, I sort of think they expected the natives to fail. But we have, the natives of Alaska have proved them wrong. I think we will, as a people, we will work out these problems. Problems of what's going to happen in 1991, the control of the corporation, mainly the stocks. What I think they should do is the stocks should be kept within our corporation. It should be handed down to our children. These kids that weren't born after 1971, they have a right to this stock, to our corporation, just as much as we do. It should be given to them. I think that's how that should be, how that matter should be taken care of. And as far as traditional values and our culture, we can't really expect our corporation to do that. It has to be something that comes from our people, from the young people, something they want to learn and they want to do. I think the business, the corporation should be an entirely different entity from what it should be, a business, because that's what it is. It's a business. We shouldn't expect it to take care of our cultures, keep up our land. It's something we have to do as a people. And about the old people, I think they deserve something from this because they're the ones who worked on this. They're the ones who lived off this land. They deserve to get something back from this corporation before they die, whether it be money or, I guess it would have to be money, something they should get back for their efforts. And whatever the problems arise, it's something we all have to work out, all our natives people, Otna people, work out together. And something about the voting power, I don't think in the future these stocks will be handed down, and of course the people with the most families, they will be getting the most voting power. I think that would be unfair. I think each one of us should have an equal number of voting power. It shouldn't matter how many shares we have. Fine if we have more than others, but we should all have equal number of voting powers. It shouldn't matter if we have, like, some people have more voting power because they have more shares. It should be just, we should all have equal number of voting power. It shouldn't matter how many shares we have. Oh, so that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you for those observations.
Well, my name is Lewis Williams, and let's see. When in 1971, I wasn't allowed to be a shareholder because I'm 1/16th less than the I don't know what it is, but it's not 1/16th not enough native to be a shareholder here. And I was raised by these people. It's my family, where I came from. And that's all my brothers and sisters are not shareholders either. All my cousins. All of my first cousins are not shareholders either. And I don't think that's right, because I was raised around here, and that's where my family is from. No, I'm only 1/16 less than it says that you have to be a shareholder. Well, that's all I gotta say.
Thank you for making that point, Mr. Williams. Well, anybody else wish to speak before we adjourn until this evening?
That was my eldest son that just spoke.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a quarter Otnatana and 1/8 Eskimo. I didn't pick my dad. I love him. I'd take him all over again. One thing I really love about him is that he didn't try to get land around here. He knew through my mother and my grandmother and my great-grandmother that this land belongs to us. He didn't try to make a homestead. He had a cabin up in Glen Allen. He had a chance to make a homestead. He had a chance to get my mom to get a native allotment. But he said he didn't because he didn't want people to think that he's trying to steal the land from us, Copper River people. So because of our descendancy, when I was 17 years old, they told me not to get married. I was way too young, and I didn't listen. I thought I knew everything, you know. So I got married to a half-breed outside Indian and white. So my children are not eligible. Three of my children born before 1971 are 1/16 less Alaska Native than required under that law. But that same law reads that if they are being raised as Indian, or even if they're white children being raised as Indian, they are still qualified under the Land Claim Settlement Act to be a shareholder in a corporation or at large. And I applied on behalf of my children, but they were rejected by OTNA. And now I have three other children born after 1971 who are not shareholders. And that law should have been really looked at for those people like my son. My son caught his first caribou last year. He doesn't live like white people. He fishes and hunts, and he's helping me tan a skin right now. We're not trying, he's not trying to go to school and, or he's never tried to claim to be white, although he's more white than Indian. This is our feelings and our hearts. He calls himself Nalchinan, that's our family tribe. And that's really unfair. And I want to see, before I die, I want to see my children and my grandchildren have a right to this land too, because we're Indians. They don't think they're anything else but Indians. Thank you.
Mr. Ewan.
Yes. I like to say, somebody said that they didn't know this thing was, it went by too fast for us at that time. You know, land claim thing. They didn't give it a chance to pass. In fact, everybody bet that it won't pass in Congress at that time. So we just gave it a boost. That's all we did. We sent a couple of people in for Washington or something like that. But what I see, some of these people, they have their own villages. I don't know. I got Otna president here for our own corporation, Kludikat, before we merged with Otna. We made provisions on that for our own village people. I don't know if it still stands. I got to have an attorney. Those people that signed into the village. They automatically get land, and they cannot sell it. That's what we put in our corporation. It goes back to next of kin. If there ain't no next of kin, it goes in the back in the corporation. Really, I don't have a lawyer here today, but that's what we done for Clue Cat before we merged. Now, I don't know if it stand today in court or anything. Yeah, but
it'd be interesting to find out where that's where what the situation is.
Maybe. Yeah, I asked Otner where they, where's the minutes. They took it, and we gave them all the records. That was in the minutes. I don't know if it still stands today, but if there's no next of kin, it's supposed to go back into Clue Cat, what it's supposed to have done at that time. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes,
actually, that's still in effect.
Mm-hmm.
As long as there are heirs, they do distribute stocks. And if there are no heirs, it reverts back to the corporation.
Thank you, Mrs. Brenwick. Well, this has been a most informative afternoon. It's been a good discussion, and I want to thank all of you for the contribution that each of you has made. We'll carry on this evening here at the hall at starting at 7 or as soon after 7 as we can get started again, and I hope you'll come again tonight at 7, and we'll hear what people have to say at that time. I see that it is here, going to be here, Eileen, at 7 o'clock. Okay? So thank you again for coming this afternoon, and we'll see you again tonight at 7, and have a good supper. Okay. Okay, well, we'll do the best we can.
But like I said, it's going to be pretty quiet up there.
Uh-huh. Some of you weren't here this afternoon, and if you'd like to speak tonight, you're welcome. This is the place.
Evelyn Pete, when those stock certificates first came out for Otten Incorporated, the elders that got them didn't understand what they were. And I was with one of our elders when he saw it. He opened it up, and he thought it says 100,000 shares. And he thought it was a check for $100,000. And he wanted to go up to the bank. He wanted me to take him up to the bank and cash it. He was all excited. Right now, he's 85 years old. He was, 75? No. Those stock certificates came out about 1972, I think. So he was about 74 years old. That really hurt my feelings, because since then, they haven't received anything. And I just wanted that to be included, too.
Go ahead.
This land claim thing.
Could you give us your name?
Oh, my name is Rita Sipari.
How do you spell their last name?
S-I-P-A-R-Y.
And can you pick this up on that?
Yep.
Well, this land claim thing, and we don't, none of my family's got a land at all. When we lost our home at Carver Valley School, there was no one to help us. But we don't have no land at all. Everyone's got some.
We'll just wait a little while and see if others come. All right. Sure, sure.
So my name's Harry Lord, and I live in Fairbanks, and I was just here visiting and making an observation of these hearings. And I'd like to go on the record to point out to you people that in 1968, the Secretary of the Interior put out an executive order freezing all title to all lands in Alaska until there was a fair and just settlement of Native claims in Alaska, which prompted the passage of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, which was not a fair and just settlement then, and it still stands now by the fact that my grandpa, the late Arctic John Italuk, had to sue in federal court for a fair and just settlement against Alyeska Pipeline Service Company and the state of Alaska. And the state and Alyeska have yet to settle up, which establishes the fact that there has never been a fair and just settlement of Native claims in Alaska, and that the executive order has to be outstanding.
You mean the order for the freeze?
The freeze, right. The land freeze, the 68 land freeze should be invoked or reinvoked, because none of our people have benefited from ANCSA And what has happened since then is a land grab and trespass on the pipeline. And so the settlement was not made with any Alaska Natives. It was made with the oil companies and the state of Alaska, and settled their claims and not any Native claims. I believe that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Lord.
Well, I think sometimes the point is overlooked that the freeze imposed by Secretary Udall had an awful lot to do with bringing about a settlement of land claims. The discovery of oil at Prudhoe Bay had an awful lot to do with it too, but there is sometimes a tendency to say that it was entirely owing to the discovery of oil that a settlement was reached. Others have suggested that the freeze imposed by Secretary Udall was an important event too.
The discovery was erroneous. They had known it was there all along since 1917. The Naval Petroleum Reserve was withdrawn in 1926.
Mm-hmm.
And so the petroleum deposits were long since known about before 1968. It was the fact that the Arabs imposed embargo in the Middle East that prompted exploration in the Arctic in 1967 or 68.
I think the embargo came in 73.
In 73. Well, the conflict is still still stands.
Your point. I understand your point.
Evelyn Pete, when Willie Hensley and the other so-called leaders were first lobbying for the land claims, they said that oil had been discovered in 1963. That's what I heard him say it. So they knew the oil was there. And even here in Glen Allen, up about 188 miles, they found one of my relatives, one of my aunts, in her backyard. There was gas just coming out of the ground. And they capped it. And nothing was ever done about it. That was right, not even a couple hundred yards from their house. Gas, natural gas. And another thing too that came about as a result of ANSCA was our corporation, Otna itself, is along with the other regional corporations, as I mentioned before, in that 7I issue, they chose the regions as having the rights to the surface and subsurface. Or the village having the surface, excuse me, and the region having the subsurface. And Otna has been selling our gravel, all they needed for that power line between Fairbanks, Nenana, Cantwell. They sold all the gravel that company needed for $1,000. From what I understand, the going rate in the state of Alaska is $7.50 a yard. And right here in the Village Council of Copper Center, they just got a $360,000 grant to redo their roads here with gravel. And Otna says they might give them their gravel when it's on their own land right over here, They might give them the gravel at a good rate. What they want to do is just make money off of that $360,000 that the village is going to get. But I figured it out that $360,000 with a friend of mine, that the equipment rental would be about $50,000, and $10,000 for whatever miscellaneous administrative costs or whatever management or whatever they're going to pay, plus $30,000 a day for 10 men. I mean, anyway, it worked out that $300,000 would be eaten up in salaries alone just for only 10 men in 30 days at $10 an hour. And any other project, anybody knows that when they bid on a project, if it's 5 miles long, how much it's going to be, it's in the millions. Everything is in the millions. But yet they think that they're going to be able to put good roads in this village for $360,000. And they don't have a right to that gravel. Thank you.
My name is Lewis Williams, lived here most of my life. Well, ever since I was small, I've been hearing and seeing the state selling land here, all over the state here. And recently I just found out that Section 4 of the Statehood Act says that the state of Alaska disclaims all right and title to land claimed by Native groups or here in Alaska, and it says that they forever disclaim any right and title to land claimed by said natives, including fishing rights. And ever since I was small, I've been hearing that they've been trying to tell us we can't fish and all this, when the state of Alaska in 1958 disclaimed any right to fishing rights. And along these rivers here, all these rivers, tributaries to our river here, all of these rivers belong to us. See, people that I don't know who in the world they are, but they line the banks every year. Maybe 10, 15 people along that bank, 10 feet along that bank, 10, 15, maybe 20 fishermen. And I don't know, they telling us we can't take our fish, and they got these commercial fishermen out there below our river taking all the fish, and all these sport fishermen taking all our fish too, and then they tell us we have no right to our fish. Mm-hmm. And plus that, they're selling land all over the state when they... according to Section 4, that's illegal. Section 4 of the Statehood Act.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Well, we called this meeting this evening in case there were others who wanted to speak who hadn't had a chance to do so this afternoon. I think what we might do is just take a break for about 20 minutes, and that'll bring us to about 8:30 or a little while after that, and if any others have come, then fine. If there haven't been any others, well, then we'll just adjourn. So I think we might as well take a break till then. Now that we've got a new chairman who knows what he's doing, we can adjourn until tomorrow. And it's my impression that we've heard from all the people at Copper Center that want to speak. We had a good meeting this afternoon, and I think we'll adjourn until tomorrow at Gulkana, and we'll assemble there at 1 o'clock. So I want to thank all of you for coming. I'm sorry, did you? Oh, forgive me. Well, all right. We've got some business.
My name is Marco Pete from Carberson, born and raised in Carper. I was going to ask a question about $100,000. I was thinking about these older people that over 65 and 62 women should get some of their money before they're dying instead of freeze it. I didn't see why they didn't pass it when before the freezing. And just like we lost some few old men and few elder people right after settlement, and their $100,000, nobody knows what's going to happen to it. Probably the state will take it back. And I don't know if the relation has a right to take it. And that's the only question I have.
Right. Mr. Ewan.
I'm Hector Ewan again. That is a concern. We talked to our elders. Like I said today, they don't know what's happening to their money or their stock. They don't even, they said we voted, they don't count. Well, and that is the voting procedure, though. They did vote, okay, but they got outvoted some places. That's understandable. But a lot of old people now, they say, no, I ain't going to meeting. Gee, they don't know what's going on. Gee, they give up already. They are the shareholders, though. I know it's hard to understand. It's even hard for me to understand. I went to school. I try to explain to the old elders as much as I could. But nobody can understand. Even the ones that went to school couldn't understand this land claim. They thought they were going to get kicked off their land if they move some other place, they buy some other place. No, that's theirs. They don't understand that either. They got new housing. Their house is still there. I mean, that's theirs yet. They didn't understand that part. I had to explain it to them. They thought once you move, you left your stuff. I mean, your house. No, it isn't. That's not true. That's elderly people I'm talking. We have the biggest record on state. I think it did anyway. Well, we lost quite a few last couple of years. But we did have, that's why we got the first elderly bus around here. That was, I wrote that grant for them in that time. But we lost half of them guys that signed for house, they died already. The house, it's, you know, somebody else have to get up. They didn't leave nothing. They didn't leave no will. It cost Otna Corporation thousands of dollars just for their find their beneficiary. I hate to say that. I know the younger people know better, but not younger, but middle-aged. But the elderly, once you sign a paper, they thought you lost it all, so they don't want to sign. I'm sorry, I don't know. I hope it explains something. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to say that now all these kids born after 1971, I don't think that it was right that they were not included in that mm-hmm. as shareholders. See, a lot of my cousins and all these younger people born after 1971, they don't have any stocks, they're not eligible for land, and geez, that's pretty bad. Because kind of makes a person feel alienated if he sees all of his people having these things and wonder why he doesn't have them. And there's a lot of people around here born since then, since they passed that Clan Claims Act. See, a lot of people. They're going to grow up and wonder why they weren't included.
Yeah. That question you asked, I'm afraid I can't answer it. I'm really not in a position to answer questions. I'm here to find out what you people think about these things, and that's really to collect your views and not to try to answer all the questions that come up. But I will try to answer them in my report, and I will be sending a copy of my report to everybody who's spoken at these meetings.
Church is going on right now. It'll be over in about 15 minutes. Probably we'll have more participation than here.
Okay, well.
I just say that because I know that.
I know that. Another thing, too, there's some people that are really sick tonight. My grandmother is a traditional chief. She's coming down tomorrow in the morning. I hope you don't give up on Copper Center people. Because what we're trying to do is, in our own way, cover the people from this end and Copper Center, and then from that end and Golcana.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of land here. We're the biggest landowners per capita in any of the corporations.
Well, we'll wait a while longer until, might as well wait till 9 o'clock or thereabouts, till church is out and see if others come to join us. That's fine.
What I'm trying to say is a lot of our elders go to church, you know, it'd be over in about 15 minutes. They said they'd be here. Well,
maybe we should all go over there and join them.
Maybe we should. Might help us.
I include these, $100,000 for old elderly people. When they take the $250 back from them, like you say, you have a housing here. It costs them a lot of money for the lights, fuel, and the house payment. And these old elderly people, they can't go out like we are, young people, and go make good money, you know. And therefore, they said they can lose the house, and or some other white people or other people from somewhere else move in this village here or other village. And the next thing they said, they're going to lose the house and the land. I sure concerned about these things. I don't even have one, so it don't bother me really, but I'm concerned about my people.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I want to see no other people get the $100,000 now instead. Wait for 1991.
I read
whatever we do, our elders, let's not put a number on it. What Akna stock is worth? I would say just give them 3/4. Akna still have a quarter, and in case they drop dead, it's going to go back to Akna anyway, they're sure. So it's what I know Congress trying to study this thing. That's the only loophole I could see in this thing. You can't do it, otherwise you can't give this too many stockholders. You just can't single the old people out and can't do it. But I tell you something, I alone